Our scripture reading this morning will be Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. That's Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Thank you, Bob. Welcome to everyone again. Join in with Tim and welcoming you, especially our guests who are coming our way today. We're just so thankful that you're here. And we're kind of having an exciting weekend down at the fairgrounds at the Tet Festival. It's been a really enjoyable weekend for us. Now, next Sunday night, you're going to get a kind of a full report from Mike Ray about this, but I've been partaking a little bit of the and viewing some of the culture. You love the drums. They go on and on and on and on, and we like them. And then we have all kinds of little dragons and things running around. This is our booth before things opened up on Friday, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that next week. You'll see some of the things that we had. Our opening crew to start things off on Friday, visiting with folks, and a couple of young women playing our Bible game. Brian came in the evening crew, and here I think Connie's given out some coloring pages and some crayons to some of the kids. And Mike is out like you've never seen Mike before, I'm telling you. He has really been amazing in the conversations that he's had. And these two guys, Mike and Mike, we just need to say thank you to these two men. These two men, there have been so many folks helping out in the Tet Festival. If you've been helping out, you know why. I've got a picture of these two guys up here, because the leadership, the servant hearts, the way they've been involved from start to finish, we really have been leaning upon these guys. And we've just had a great time out at the festival, meeting wonderful people, having very good conversations. And it's just good to be in the community and to have the name of Christ spread abroad. So there'll be a group meeting out there, I guess, at 1 o'clock. We start back up and going to about 8 o'clock tonight. So be praying for those that'll be out there this afternoon. And we're just really grateful for that. Looking forward to getting a full report next Sunday evening. Ron mentioned the debate. A lot of us heard the debate Tuesday night. We streamed it here in the fellowship hall between Ken Ham and Bill Nye. I appreciated especially the very unashamed way that Ken Ham spoke about faith, and the very pure faith that he has in God and in the Word of God. He pointed us back over and over again to the book of Genesis, just reminding us that that's where everything begins. That's the book of Genesis is truly the origin of all things, the origin of the universe, the origin of life, the origin of marriage, the origin of sin, the origin of forgiveness and of covenant and of sacrifice and the plan of redemption, the beginnings of God's revelation of himself, his creation of man and woman in his own image, and the relationship into which he invited us from the very, very beginning. In the book of Genesis, we find the purpose of life, the meaning of life. So much is there. And as Tim read to us a few moments ago from Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we even have foreshadowing in the book of Genesis about the work of the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. I love that phrase. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. There's this shapeless, empty, dark place, but the Spirit of God comes. And the Spirit of God is hovering over the water. And that those words are just filled with such anticipation. You read those words and you know something's about to happen. The Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the waters and something is about to break. Something is about to change. And certainly it does immediately. God speaks and light comes in the midst of the darkness. And the waters separate from the dry land, and the dry land appears in this perfect world begins to emerge, and God speaks, and chaos becomes order, and His perfect world comes out before our very eyes, and the chaos of the darkness and the shapelessness of the material world is replaced by the magnificent creation of this universe, and it begins with the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. It's amazing how in Scripture we find over and over again the creating, the generating, the life-giving, organizing power of the Holy Spirit unleashed. The psalmist says in Psalm 104, verse 30, "When you send your Spirit, they're created, and you renew the face of the earth." That's what happens when God sends His Spirit out. His Spirit gives life. His Spirit brings order. It brings order out of chaos. It separates things out. It brings power and life. The Bible speaks of that power of the Spirit over and over again, that life-giving, regenerating capability of the Spirit that so frequently seems to be focused on taking things that are a mess and making them better, shaping them into what God wanted them to be in the first place. And God, over and over again, brings order out of the chaos of the world by sending His Spirit. The Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the waters, and you get the feeling that a new world is about to begin. I think that's kind of how I've envisioned the baptism of Jesus in Luke chapter 3, when it says all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and as He was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended on Him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You're my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit of God descended on Him in bodily form, and it's as if the Spirit of God is there hovering over those waters as Jesus comes in for His baptism at the hand of the prophet John. And you just get this feeling at that moment, things are about to change. A new world is about to dawn because there's the Spirit of God again hovering over the waters and now descending in bodily form upon His Son, Jesus Christ. And you just know it. You just sense it. God's power is about to be unleashed in new ways. And in the ministry of Jesus, that's exactly what happens. Jesus gets up from this baptism in the Jordan River, filled with the Spirit of God, anointed with the Spirit of God, and begins to enter the world of chaos and rebellion against God and brings order and peace to people who are in need. It all starts in the synagogue in Luke 4 when He goes home. And you remember how He reads from the prophet Isaiah. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him, and He began by saying to them, "Today the Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus said, "This is it. This is the beginning. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I have been anointed with the Spirit of God, and this is what I've come to do. This is what the Spirit is empowering me to do on this earth. I've come to preach good news to the poor. I've come to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. I've come to release the oppressed. I have come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the jubilee year, the start over year, the cancel all debts and begin life all over again promise of God." And in the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes to people whose lives are out of order, whose lives are chaotic, people who have lost their way, people, some of whom are caught up in sin, some who've not known God, some who are oppressed by different illnesses and so forth, people who are confused and looking for the meaning for their own life. And he comes to proclaim favor, to bring grace, to release people who are oppressed and dominated by sin, to bring healing and hope and joy into the lives of people, to bring order out of chaos. And he does, doesn't he? Over and over again, as he meets people, he's bringing order out of chaos. He meets the woman at the well in Samaria, this woman whose life is a wreck. She's been in 5 broken relationships. She's living with a man, not her husband. She comes to the well that day, and there's Jesus offering her living water, giving her something that will change her life, letting her know that there is still hope for her. And she goes away understanding she's met the Messiah, the Jewish Christ, and she brings that message of hope to a village that's probably spurned her. This is a woman who's known failure, and now Jesus reaches out to her. The demon-possessed man, so overwhelmed by the powers of Satan, but Jesus sets him free, so he's clothed in his right mind, and order comes out of chaos in this man's life. Over and over again, you see it. In Nicodemus, a man whose life seems to be kind of shackled by tradition, Jesus comes along to this great teacher of Israel who will come to faith in Christ and says, I need to talk to you about starting all over. You need to be born again. This coming of the kingdom is something that transforms all of life. And Jesus brings order, the order of the kingdom of God, into Nicodemus, the widow of Nain, in the funeral procession of her only son. Can you imagine? The widow and now her only son. Her world is over as far as she's concerned. And Jesus stops the funeral procession, and he raises the boy back to life. And life comes back to this family, because that's what Jesus comes to do. He comes to bring order. He comes to bring life. He comes to give hope. And over, whether it's the man of leprosy who's been thrown out of the community and can't get back in because he's leprous, and Jesus heals him and welcomes him back into the community of Israel, or the man who's born blind, and Jesus takes away that blindness and opens up his life in greater spiritual realities that he is, in fact, the long-awaited Messiah, or the woman who's had an issue of blood for years, who finds the faith to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And in that moment, her faith takes hold of Christ, and Christ brings order and healing and acceptance back to her, life and hope and order out of chaos, where there was sin or oppression or sickness. And then his own apostle, Simon the Zealot, whose own political aspirations come to nothing when he comes to find out that there is a king who comes without a sword, without a battle, except a spiritual one, and he finds a new purpose in life. Or Matthew, who's empty. His life is empty, though his money chests are full. But he finds out that in the kingdom of God there are riches that he had no idea about, and he comes to find them out because Jesus reaches into his life. And James and John, who thought power was the way to find meaning, come to find that in Jesus, that power is swept away by the spirit of submission, humbling yourself before God in obedience. And Jesus eventually will sweep away their selfish ambition and give them the desire to serve and to humble themselves as servants in his kingdom. This is the order that comes to life. Jesus comes to bring order. He comes to set things straight. He comes to make things better. He comes to align people back with their Creator and with their God. And you don't just read about this in the Bible. It still happens. This is still the work of the Spirit in our world today. This is the work of the Spirit in your life and in my life. Because through our faith in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, God has brought order to us, forgiveness to us, peace and meaning. It all started at our conversion. Paul writes in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That sounds like chaos. That sounds like disorder. And that's where all of us were to some level before we came to truly know Christ. There was ignorance, or we were deceived, or we were caught up in some sin that had caused us confusion in our life. We were enslaved. Paul talks about pagan people at their worst, hating and being hated by others, and just life being out of order. And regardless of how a person's life may look in this world, what really counts is, how are they with God? Do they have peace in their heart when it comes to God? Do they have meaning and purpose in their lives? And Paul goes on to say, what happened to us? When the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. The washing of rebirth. The renewing by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And for you and me, it happened, didn't it? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, over the face of our baptismal waters, the washing that brings rebirth, the renewal that takes place by the Holy Spirit. When you and I were born again by the power of the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And when that, in that moment, we knew something was about to happen in our life. When we came to Christ in faith and turned from our sins, and we're about to be baptized into His death, to be raised up to new life and to be filled with the Spirit of God, you just know at that moment, something's about to change. A whole new world is about to dawn. The Spirit of God is hovering over the face of those waters. And when we come up in faith by the power of the Spirit, we're forgiven, we're set free. We're reconciled to God, and there's an order that comes about our life. There's a newness that comes about our life when we came to Christ. A few moments ago, Bob was reading to us from Galatians chapter 5, where we see the chaotic effects of sin. Boy, the works of the sinful nature of the flesh, their sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, hatred, discord, jealousy. We're very much aware of what that world looks like. But we came to Christ, and Paul says the Holy Spirit continues to be at work in our life to bring about sanctification, to bring order out of the chaos that we once knew when we were away from Christ. And He bears His fruit in us, Paul says in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Paul says, you know, we don't mess with the stuff in the past. We've crucified that stuff. We've died with Christ. That's all over. Now we live in the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit because the Spirit is doing new things in our life. The Spirit is bringing about newness. He is powerful and He's active. And He longs for us to know the order of His indwelling ourselves, the order of godliness and holiness, a life that's devoted to the purposes of God. And that's what the Spirit, what He is doing in our world today and in our lives today. Do you believe? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that He is truly God among us and God living within us, that He's powerful, that He's active, that He has power today to bring newness and life and order just as He always has? That's something that we all believe. The question then, and some of the questions that you and I need to think about, is what's the Spirit doing in your life? Right now, what is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? How are you growing? How are you maturing? How are you becoming more like Jesus? Where right now is an area in your life where you're applying God's Word, the Word of the Holy Spirit, to yourself and changing? Where is it that you're becoming more obedient, more committed, more like Jesus than you have been in the past? Where does the Holy Spirit And what does he long to do with you? Is there some part of your life that's still chaotic? Some part of your life that hasn't come under the control and the rule of God, even as a Christian? What is the Holy Spirit trying to teach you? Do you need to learn patience? Do you need to learn a spirit of submission and humility? Do you need to learn how to be more forgiving when it comes to other people? Being able to let go of the wrongs that have been committed against you? Do you need a greater sense of urgency? Is he trying to teach you a greater sense of urgency when it comes to reaching out to the lost that are around you, or a greater commitment? Where does he long to lead you? Does he long to lead you into a greater assurance because you're troubled and have questions about your own salvation? Or does he long to lead you into greater service in the kingdom, or to a life of holiness, or to deeper prayer? What attitude is he trying to transform in you right now? Maybe to bring contentment into your heart if it's troubled, or to help you grow in unconditional love for people because you have difficulty loving people as they are. Maybe it's a matter of not trusting God with the uncertain things that you're facing in your life. What is he trying to transform in you? What attitude? Do you have a grumbling spirit? Do you tend to look at the negative things and complain more and bring people down, or even perhaps talk about other people? What is it that the Holy Spirit is working on in your life? It seems to me I need to have the answer to that question. I need to know what God is wanting to do in my life so I can be a part of that, so I can respond to that, so I can allow God to make that happen in my life. What excuses is he helping to expose? You know, we've been praying a lot lately. We've been talking about praying a lot, and I think we've been praying a lot as well individually. Praying for lost souls, praying for open hearts, praying for opportunities, praying for workers to go out into the field, praying that we will be those workers, praying that we will be the answer. Has God been convicting you in this area of your life? The last few weeks, have you been convicted? That's the work of the Spirit, to convict us, to bring about change in our life, and then to empower us so that we can serve and to use us. You know, I know some of you are going to laugh because I'm going to talk about how old I am. And, you know, I know there are people here older than me, so I get it. I'm 62. And it's like, I'll talk a little bit more about this tonight. But, you know, God's doing something in my life right now I didn't ever think would happen. I didn't think and it has to do with, It has to do with what we've been praying about, to be more open with people, to be more spontaneous, to engage people in conversation who don't know the Lord, to not make excuses, to not be afraid, to get out there and just be a part of that, and not to be so reserved at times, you know? You probably think maybe I shouldn't be that way, but that's kind of a problem I've got. And I've just been praying and praying for that. God, give me boldness. God, give me confidence. And I'm telling you, out there with Mike and the others, Mike and Connie and Doug, my wife on Friday night, just having a ball talking to people about Jesus, encouraging, talking, just inviting them to church. I mean, people just from very different life experiences, it's just a blessing. And other things that are developing with our waitress friend over at the Kay's Kitchen that's going on this week, you know, it's exciting. I just want to confess on one hand, I haven't done a really good job of that recently. I just haven't. And I've been very frustrated, and I realize I've been very convicted. All those sermons about praying for the lost is mostly pointed at me and the need for me to become a different person and to change some things and excuses that I've been holding on to for a long time. And I've just been noticing, just in the last week or so, and this is totally not me, it's God. It's the work of God in my life. But some of these fears are just falling off. I just don't care. I'm not afraid. I mean, I care, don't get me, you know what I mean. I don't care about the fear. And I've admired so many, there's some people here I've admired for years who just, you just do it. You do what I've always wanted to do, and I just seem to be kind of stand back. And I watch you, and I've seen so many of you, I could name a lot of you right now, I won't do that, but that have been examples to me through the years. I thought, I'm 62 years old. Is this ever, is this, and you know what? By the power of God, complete honor and glory to Him, I'm seeing some changes in me, and it's not due to me. It's really due to Him. And I'm just saying that for those of us who are older, you think, well, you know, I'm just this way. You know, I've had a negative attitude since I was 20, or I've done this. You know what? It doesn't have to stay that way. We really can. I mean, I know the old dogs, new tricks, things, but we're not dogs, are we? We're created in the image of God with the Spirit of God living in us, and God wants to change us and transform us and make us more useful in the kingdom. And it's exciting. I just feel right now, in my life, I just feel like the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the waters. It's like, okay, Richard, here we go. Are you going to jump in, buddy? Are you all talk? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to do it? Are you ready to act? And it's exciting. I'm not. It's so funny. I used to be afraid, and I give God thanks that there's just an excitement there and a desire now. That's what I really am trying to get at today. Maybe not doing it in a very, very good way, but you know, the Spirit wants to be at work on these things. There may be sin in your life. There may be sin right now. Many of us, it's that secret thing that nobody else knows about, and it's just nagging, and we haven't put it to death, and we just haven't taken the steps we need to be accountable, to cut it off, to be done with it. Whatever that sin is, do you not know? Do we not know the Spirit of God longs to help us through our study of the Word of God, through our praying to the Father, through our submission of our will to His? He longs to make those changes in us. It is not too late. It is not too late for any of us, but we've got to be able to identify what He needs to do in us. What is it right now that the Spirit would love to change in me, to make me more like Jesus, to bring new life, to bring order in some of my life that isn't right, that is still chaotic? What is that? What does God long to do in my life? And then I need to look at my life and assess whether or not I'm really cooperating with God in that effort. Do I really know what He wants to do in me, specifically in me? And then what am I doing about that? Am I cooperating with Him? Am I seeking to make that happen and submitting my will? Because the Bible says there are different options for us now. We can resist the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 7, verse 5, the people who were accused by Stephen of resisting the Holy Spirit were charged with that because they were not listening to the Word of God, which is the Word of the Holy Spirit who inspired people to write it down. If you're reading something in this book about you, about something that needs to be different in your life, about some change you need to make, and you're just kind of holding back, then you're resisting the Holy Spirit. And God can't do in you what He would long to do as long as that resistance stays in. As you rationalize, as you fail to be convicted by Him and fail to listen. Oh, we need to be praying at that point. God, give me strength. Help me to overcome. Am I grieving Him? We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul says this in the context of Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 29, when he's talking about the need to love one another, to forgive one another, to live in unity with each other, to get over all those terrible attitudes that we can have toward people, and to care for one another and be forbearing and be patient and humble and loving with one another. And Paul says, if you're not, then you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God, because that's what the Spirit of God wants to do in the church. That's the kind of fellowship He's wanting to create. So if I'm opposing that in some way by an attitude, by an inability to forgive someone, or by continuing having a negative or a complaining spirit, if I'm allowing that to go on, or I'm not forgiving a brother, treating someone right, then I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, and He can't make those changes in me because I'm resisting Him. Am I quenching Him? Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Am I putting out the Spirit's fire? Here comes the Holy Spirit, and sometimes He's like this dove over the waters, but sometimes He comes like a fire through the place, and He wants to bring judgment, but also enthusiasm and zeal for God. And Paul says, are you quenching that? God wants to work powerfully in your life, but do you have faith to let Him do that? Or do you quench the Spirit of God and live content with the status quo? Am I just going to be satisfied with the way I am? Or do I want to invite the probing Spirit of God into my heart to help me understand what I need to do. And don't you sense that work of God? The prodding, the open doors, the power to change, the power to escape from sin. The Spirit of God hovers over the face of the waters. And for us, of course, the difference is that He gives us free will. The Holy Spirit does not force God's will or word upon us. It's up to us. When we don't submit, chaos grows. When we do, we find order and peace. It's not that all our problems disappear or we never have a difficulty or an unsettling event, but that in the middle of all the chaos that goes on in this world, we have the order and the peace of God in our hearts because of the Spirit's work and life in us. And so we've got to be conscious of what God is wanting to do in us and to pray for Him to search our hearts. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. We sang that beautiful verse from Psalm 139, where the psalmist says, God, just probe me, look through me. I want you to expose everything about me. That's what the Word of God does. It's living and active and sharp and powerful. It can just get right in there between our thoughts and our intentions and lay us bare before God and before ourselves if we ask God to search our hearts, to open those things up before us, and then to devote ourselves to making those changes in our life. Whatever it is in your life today, can you identify one or two or three things in your life today that you really know God would like to make changes about, that it would make you more like Jesus Christ? If so, be praying for those things. Be praying about them. Be looking to God's Word for instruction on how to make those changes in your life. And be asking God to give you power, spiritual power, because it takes that to change things in us, doesn't it? It's not just by our own ability, by our own power, but it's by the Spirit of God that such changes can take place. So we go to the Word, we meditate on it, we pray over it, and we give up, we yield our wills to Him. We yield to His convicting power. We say, God, you can have your way with us. You take over. You show me what needs to be changed and help me to give myself over to that transforming process. Bring order out of the chaos in my own life and pray that God will unleash His Spirit in you. Oh, Holy Ghost, revival comes from Thee. Sang those words a few moments ago. Let there be a revival. God, let it start with me. We were saying, God, may your Spirit give me power. Help this new life. Help this newness and change that you need to see in this world. Help it to start in my own heart and in my own life and make me what you want me to be so that you can use me as an instrument of yours. Pray for that. Be purposeful about these things. We all know none of this just happens. It doesn't happen because we went to church and we heard a lesson about it. It happens when day after day after day we're on our knees in prayer and our Bibles are open and we're asking God to search us and to make these things known. And we give ourselves over to that process of being made over into the image of Jesus Christ. And today we just praise God. We praise Him for His working in our lives. We praise Him for the Holy Spirit who convicts, who guides, who empowers, who transforms, who's given us our life in Jesus Christ. And this is the message we have to any friend among us today who doesn't yet know Jesus. The message is a message of life, a message of hope, a message that God communicates to you in the Word, which is the work of the Holy Spirit through people of old. And if you've heard of God's love for you and you know how He's poured out His grace for you in Jesus Christ, and if you already understand the nature of Jesus' sacrifice for your sins, you know Jesus came to save you. He came to reconcile you to the Father, to make your life new, to give you joy and peace in a world where those things just can't be found. You can come to Him today. You can confess your faith. You can turn from the sin in your life that just brings disorder. And you can be baptized into Jesus Christ, forgiven of your sins by His precious blood, filled with the Spirit of the living God. The Spirit of the living God is hovering over the face of the waters. It can be a new day for you. It can be the fresh start for you. It can be life for you. It can be spiritual order and meaning and fulfillment for you today. Because when the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, something's about to happen. You just know it. You can just sense it. And I pray today that you can sense it in your own life. I pray that right now you can sense that God longs to work powerfully in you and transform you, and it's there, and it's just there for the taking, not the taking, but for the submitting, to submit to the will and the purpose of God. I want us as a church to realize the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of these waters. And there are great things that God can do through His people in this congregation. It's just right there. It's just right there for our obedience, for our submission to the will of God, for just getting over ourselves and our fears and launching out in faith. The Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the waters. There's new life right there. There's grace, there's order, there's meaning, there's power. It's there. It's just there to be received by faith. May God be at work in our lives and bring newness and freshness and transformation to each one of us. And if you need to respond to that life-changing power, you are invited to come. Let's stand and sing together.